It says, and after this, there was a door open in heaven. And tonight, I'd like to comment on it. There's something that's going on right now that has to do with this door open in heaven. We keep it on our mind a lot because most of the people, when we talk about the door open in heaven, they don't really get into what we're saying. But today, Brother Don poured a call from Canada and got to talking about some things and was telling me how that he'd gone through the fire and all the things that happened to him and how that a car just fell on him and it was just a miracle that he was still alive and how that he wanted to get back to Bethlehem so much. He hadn't served God. He was so tore up and he remembered the things that we taught. And some girl there that he's acquainted with by the name of Judy, he was telling me that she gets our tapes, kind of helps keep him in touch, and been getting about 3 years, and said, you know, said she just got the tape on the door open in heaven. And said, and I remember what you said about the porter is the one that opens the door, and of course his name is Porter. And Canada, you know, runs a symbolic thing of Canaan as to a heavenly source. And of course, Brother Brown had invited us up into Canada to come up there. Well, today, you know, that's really strange about the things that they've been talking about and things that happened up in the Smokies. Then going off today with Brother Taylor for a few minutes to take care of some business. Brother Taylor, he turned to me and he said, started to talking about the door open in heaven. And then he started talking about Canada or the invitation. And one thing right after another, he started making mention of, and I knew that he didn't know anything about anything concerning this. And then I began to think the more on it, because we had considered going up into Canada, because there is a door open up there to us. But I thought it real strange as to the way the Lord was dealing about the door open in heaven, where someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what does that mean? Whereas really you should know, after all the tutoring, you should be able to tell me a lot about it. But numbers of you couldn't, and that's why I say that I feel reasonably sure that you haven't really understood what we said about it. The Bible said, take heed how that you hear, and don't let things slip. But I thought, the door open in heaven, what does it mean to us? Well, it doesn't seem to mean very much, because people don't understand. Jesus said one time to the disciples, said, are you without understanding yet? So it doesn't mean very much. They don't get very much out of it. You even talk about it, it doesn't have an effect on them. But there's one thing for sure and certain. It's almost ready to close. Now, when the door in heaven closes, you'll understand it better. It's for sure that you'll be concerned about it. And you will be wanting to know all that you can know about it. And you'll learn a whole lot about it. And you'll understand it for sure. But it'll be too late, because it will be closed. So then I thought tonight we might just comment a little bit on the door open in heaven, since the Lord brought all these things around. I know that the door is on the verge of closing. I know it's just about time for the door to close. And to they that walk in the Spirit of God and understand the things of the Lord, they know that it's just about close. So I guess that's why that the Lord brought it to my mind tonight. For I'd completely forgotten about it. Even though there'd been so much said about it. Then I thought, well, maybe the Lord wants me to comment on this. I was asking him what I should comment on. And it says that after this, I saw a door open in heaven. And then it said, after this door was open in heaven, that I heard the voice saying, come up hither. Now, we've made the statement that John had to do with the church, because he was called John the Beloved. And then we brought out the other night that it seems strange, but Paul the apostle, having the revelation of Jesus Christ, that right after Calvary, all of a sudden, here comes Paul. Once Jesus is crucified, once he is buried, resurrected, and caught away, and it's no more in the earth, then all of a sudden, here comes Paul on the scene, testifying that it is not him living, but it is the Christ. So we say, here comes the Christ on earth. Now it seems strange because we will say, well, if Jesus went away, he was Jesus Christ. But then he said, if I go away, I will send to you a comforter. And when he comes, he will come in my name, which we know that when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, we are promised the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is this Spirit that we're speaking of. And when the Spirit comes upon you, the Bible said, ye shall receive power, inasmuch as Christ is the power over all of the powers of the enemy and remains that way throughout eternity. And when we receive him in our heart, then greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Or that does mean that you have all power over the powers of the enemy, because it was the Christ walking within the body of the Lord Jesus that made the thing an open show. The Bible said he triumphed over all powers, making them an open show. And at Calvary and rending the veil, he made these things an open show and showed himself to be the great power and authority of all, or King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible said he'll return with many crowns as proof that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we're baptized into the name of Jesus, then we put on Christ. And then the Spirit of God comes, and he comes in our heart. From then on, this Christ that's inside of our heart is all power over the powers of the enemy. And he is also power over death as to that of the enemy, because it says all of the enemy. And he is power over death. And the Bible said, he that keepeth my sayings shall never see death. So then we know that we have all power over the enemy, like as John came, but John came in the spirit of Elias. Though it was John, yet there was the spirit of Elias within the body of John. Now here's Paul, and here is the spirit of Christ, which was in a natural body, Jesus Christ. And now it's come back in Paul, and then there's the rent veil, and Jesus goes away to one side, and here comes the Christ to the other side, because the rending of the veil was the dividing asunder of the Lord and the Christ, the body being the Lord. That meant the Jews had gone one way, and now the Christ had come to put on the veil of human flesh as the Gentile, or as the bride of Christ, to make this body one with the very Spirit of Almighty God, or Christ, inasmuch as when the Spirit came in the body, it made that body one, and the Spirit, which was God, the Word, was made flesh. And so then it then came to us, once to fulfill the law, the will of God, folded up the body, laid it away, delivering us from this body of sin and death. Then that indicated that now the Christ was here. And strangely enough, Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then being the Christ, he referred back. See, Jesus going to Calvary. Jesus going to Calvary has delivered me from the body of sin and death. And now the Christ is here. It's not me living, but the Christ. Paul had experienced such awful experiences. He had been stoned, left for dead. He had been beat at the whipping post numbers of times. He had been beaten with the rod numbers of times. He had been shipwrecked in the deep. He had been bitten by one of the most poisonous vipers. And he had went through all of these things until Paul wasn't alive anymore. He had spent time in prison. He had been rejected of the countrymen. He was an outcast among his people. And Paul just wasn't alive anymore. It was indeed Christ living. And Christ sent him to get a bride. If it was Christ, then it would be Christ as to the message, as to the revelation, as to this great, wonderful Christ through what Paul had done in remembrance of this great, wonderful Christ as was placed on exhibit in the human body after Jesus had gone. As to Jesus Christ in one purpose, as to redemption of the body, and as it was with great and mighty signs and wonders to bring Israel out of the wilderness, as the prophet likened to Moses, or that is to bring them out of Egypt, out of the flesh. And then all of a sudden, here is Christ, and now he's come to redeem his body. His body was to be redeemed. And when we say to redeem his body, we would say, well, Brother Pike, how could he redeem his body? He didn't have any body. You know, here was all the sinners, here's all the Gentiles, and what body belonged to him that he could redeem? Surely the body of sin did not belong to him, and that's right. Because Jesus said over there to the Pharisees and scribes, he said, you belong to the devil. He said, your father is the devil. And the devil is the one, he said, in the parable that had sown the tares. He said, and I sowed good seed. He brought it out in the parable. He said, and this man went and sowed good seeds, went away and slept. And when he returned, all of a sudden there was tares among the wheat. And when the people that was to bring forth the harvest went and checked it, said, did you not sow good seed? He said, I did. Said, from whence then cometh the tares? He said, this is of the enemy. Said, while he slept and took his rest like he did on the boat, laying there on the boat when he was hard and fast asleep, seeking rest because he was just a natural man in the body. See, he said, the enemy has done this thing. And they said, well, we'll pluck him up. He said, no, if you do that, he said, you will get the wheat. He said, just leave it alone. You know, the roots go down there and they wrap around one another. People get to know one another, that is, and their buddies and their friends. And if you hurt one of them's feeling, even though he might be a snake in the grass, this individual over here, he's very religious, but he thinks a lot of this person. And if you root that up, then you get this one over here. So you just have to leave them alone as out there in the world and let them grow together. And he said, just leave them alone. He said, and in the end of the world, as he gave it, he said, there'll be reapers. It'll cut down the harvest and it'll severally divide. It'll bind into bundles as to the tares, throw them into the fire, gather the grain or the wheat into the garners. So I said that to say this, that it is true that Paul went to get a body, but not the tare. Not the tare. See, that wasn't the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not go to redeem that body, though God had given grace on all human bodies to give his body a chance to come out from among those people of the world. Whereas again, someone would say, but Brother Pike, how can you refer to that as his body when all of them are just alike? All of them were born into sin. The spirit of foolishness is in the heart of all of them. Didn't he just come out there to seek somebody that he might bring and get converted? No, he went in search of his bride. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, that couldn't be his bride. But see, it was his bride. And it was a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. How could then it be his bride? It was by the foreknowledge of God that God chose his bride before the world ever was. This is the way they came about when they were born into the world. They were born as elect and they were born as his bride. And it was with Judas. And it said, let another his bishopric take because he was a devil. And before he was born into the world, it was said, let another his bishopric take. So then he was born for that purpose. Pharaoh, he said, for this purpose have I raised him up, that I might make my name known among the people. And so he would harden Pharaoh's heart. And then when it come to Jacob and Esau, I've said so many times, the children never have yet been born into the world. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Foreseeing, foreknowing, and understanding. And then the Bible speaks of some. He said, these are beasts. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. And he said, these are beasts. Then he said, some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned, which means that even when God created them, He knew that they were beasts as he brought them into existence. And they were made to be taken and burned. He knew what they would do. All of his works known unto him from the beginning. He knew they wouldn't conform to holiness. He knew that they would not love the Lord. And so then when he created them, he had already looked at the end as to their future. And knew that they would be, as it was with Judas, devils. And they'd be brute beasts. And so then when they were made to be taken and destroyed. See, looking down through the telescope of time, all of his works are known unto him from the beginning. And it wasn't the pleasure of God for them to be like that. Or else how could it be that the Bible says that God, after that he had made man, looked down into the earth and saw the corruption that filled all the earth. And the Bible said he repented that he'd ever made man. Well, anyway, I said all of that to say this. We'd have to do a lot of explaining there on some things that will run through your mind that we don't have time to bring out tonight because we're trying to get to a certain thought here tonight. Or make a point, as they say in the world. But here was Paul, and it was now the Christ. The Paul had been killed out, and now it was the Christ. See, it was the Christ. The Christ had to come in a human body because the body of Jesus had gone away. And the Comforter had to come back. And he had to come in a human body. And when he come in a human body, he had a job to do because Jesus had finished the work as unto redemption and the mighty deliverance as to proof that he was very God. And now the second part of it was to take place, which was the Christ. And this thing had to take place in a human body because Christ is a spirit. And the only way that he could do this was to find an individual that was completely given to God. Paul, look at Christ. Christ was blameless as to touching the law, as to transgression. When Paul came along, he said, as to the law, all you have the law and none of you keep it. He said, but as for me, I'm blameless as touching the law. And so we see him falling right into the pattern of the Lord Jesus. God completely turned him around. Even the things that he did as consenting to the death of the saints and all these things was out of a zeal for religion. And he never married. He never tried to have a family. He just went just for God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and taught you should meditate in the mind of God day and night. Thus he became the Word. He become Christ, Christ in the flesh. And God had to be sure that it was Christ completely, the move of God. So he killed out Paul. He said, Paul, I'm going to show you what great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And he began to put it into Paul's mind as to the great suffering, as to the septen aisle. Now, that's really something, you know, because evangelists, they're flashy on television. They're flashy behind the sacred desk and they're after money. And they're always saying something, you know, as to draw attention to themselves, not to Christ. And the evangelist is always telling the people, prosperity, health, happiness, all of these things. This is what God wants you to have. And here God is telling Paul that he's going to suffer, shipwreck, being stoned. Paul said, more than any of the apostles, I was filled with the zeal of God. And I, above all of them, filled with zeal, worked harder and done more. And here he is, being hurt the more, literally crucified. He said, I'm killed all the day long. He said, in my heart, there's continual sorrow. I could wish that I was a curse from Christ for my kinsmen's sake. Said, because they have all the good things. They have all the blessings. The church has the blessings. Said, you abound and you're lifted up. And I'm glad to God that you are. I wished I could abound with you. He said, you are spoken well of and people look on you in a good way. Said, we are the outcast. We are the offscouring of the earth. We're made to be nothing in the eyes of the people. And they say that we are poor and yet we're rich in Christ. And we're making many rich and all these kind of things. See, and so then we see that God, having to be sure that there wouldn't be any mistake, that there wouldn't be any mix-up in this move of God, he got Paul completely out of the way. He never stopped until Paul was completely killed, completely put out of the way. And then after that, it was the Christ. And Paul said, it's not me living, but it's Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live in my mortal body, my mortal genes, it is Christ. So then I said all of that to bring out a thought, and that is, he went to get the bride. He went to get the bride. The bride who was the predestinated of God, as Paul said, and these women workers whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that before the foundation of the world. And the Bible said everyone whose names were not found written in the Book of Life wandered after the beast. And we brought that out, that if your name is not in the Book of Life, then you're going to wander after the flesh, because it's beast. Some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. When Adam fell from the garden, he fell to the beast level. And when he fell to the beast level, he was no more than a beast. That's why science, as to the knowledge of this world, traces it back to Adam and back to the beast and back to the tree of knowledge. Because it was Satan into the beast, into Adam, and it was all beast. And Adam lost the Shekinah image in which he was made, because he was made out of the dust, just like the beast. Taken to the eastern part of Eden, and there in the garden became an equality with God, as God brought the Shekinah image upon him, making him in the image of Almighty God. And there he stood with this illumination of mind as to the great knowledge of the Spirit, and could see spiritual trees into the spirit world, could fellowship God who is a Spirit, and see the spiritual tree of knowledge, and see the spiritual tree of life. So then there he was in the glory, in the Shekinah covering of Almighty God. And the Bible said when Adam fell from this, then he took on another covering, but it was a covering of darkness, and God covered him with skin. So the Shekinah one that pulled away, as to Jesus, that image in which we were made, was lost. And that Shekinah that was there was lifted. See, even as it overshadowed Mary, and to bring forth the body. So we know that the divine conception is in the heart of Adam. It did not take place. Neither did Adam bring forth the image of the Son of God. But you and I today have the privilege of the restored grace of God that is over us again. And it has come to us again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone that is the bride of Christ, as to the predestinated, God, having saved us while we were yet in our sins, not imputing our trespasses unto us, not imputing our sins unto us, but imputing our faith unto us as righteousness, and keeping us as a virgin. All through this, that when the time of this wonderful gospel should come, and this wonderful exuberance as to the feeling of stimulation should come, that we would conceive of Almighty God, or of the Spirit of Christ, even as Mary conceived of the Spirit of Christ, which was the Holy Ghost, and it brought forth a human body for that great Spirit. Remember now that Christ was the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. He'll always be the Holy Ghost. The only thing is that he was referred to back there as the great, wonderful high priest Melchizedek. And I made the statement that Jesus, when Jesus came along, it was said unto Jesus, thou hast the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And the Lord referred to him and said, thou, O God, ye shall fold the others up like a garment and lay them away, speaking of them that come from the dust, they should die. But thy priesthood is forever and forever. And of thy kingdom there shall be no end. And of the increase of thy kingdom, that is to the multiplying, as to worlds, millions and billions of worlds, there shall be no end. And to populate, has to be one earth, as to this earth, as to one Christ, as to one Calvary, to bring about what God is doing. But once he does that, he can populate. There's no end as to eternity, as to what he can do. He gets his perfected image, and once he gets that which will be reproduced after his kind, and once he has brought this this perfect image in. He can do away with Lucifer. He can do away with darkness. And then it's a matter of reproduction, not as to light and darkness of this thing that had to come to manifest God, who is light, into a human realm. But he can just take the Spirit of Christ and through divine conception, on and on it goes. So he said, thou hast a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And he spoke of him as being equal with the Melchizedek, who had no beginning of days, who hath no ending of years, who met Abraham in the valley of Shave, and took tithes. Even Levi paid tithes while he was in the loins of his father, to the extent that what Abraham done was credited to the coming Levi, which should come from the loins of Abraham down through Isaac and Jacob to the tribes. See as to what God was doing. And returning from the slaughter of the kings and the battle of the kings, there he met Melchizedek and he made an offering unto God. See, the same Melchizedek was the great, mighty Holy Ghost of that day. And that great, wonderful Holy Ghost of that day was the high priest of Almighty God. And he was with him in the Old Testament. The Bible speaks of this, making reference back, and said, during this period of time, that the Holy Ghost himself, thus signifying as to the times of the coming of Jesus, which meant as to the coming of Jesus, or to the body of this great, wonderful Holy Ghost, or this Christ, as to this Christ in which the bodily image was made, and Satan stole that body away, and the dispute between Lucifer, the great and mighty angel that reflected that light of Christ, the battle was between that angel and Christ, his angel, which was the Holy Spirit, the great, wonderful Holy Ghost. And the dispute was over the body, which was the woman, as to what she would reproduce, whose image she would reproduce. And one is coming through the tree of knowledge, the other is coming through the tree of life. Jesus said, my word, just to this understanding, is the wonderful knowledge of God, which is the word of spirit and of life. This other was as unto death. So then, as to the dispute of the body, here there was a woman as to Eve unto corruption, and then there was Mary as unto life. And so then when Mary conceived, it was to bring about the body, because she conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God that made the Holy Ghost Jesus' Father because of the conception. And so then when the Holy Ghost moved into the body, then the body as to the Son became one with the great eternal Spirit, which was the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost, or God himself, had prepared himself a body, even as the reproduction of a man and a woman, that now here is the Son, and the life is in the Son, and then the Son comes forth, and the image of the Father takes over the Father's business, and soon there's no Father as to the natural, he's gone, and here is the one. And even as Jesus went away, so the same in many things that we would say that might kind of baffle your mind, but staying with the major theme of thought here tonight. So we know that when this happened, the Christ and the body came together, and thus the body, that which was conceived, the body itself, came forth with a new blood cell, because the old blood cell was gone. It wasn't the blood of Mary, neither was it the blood of any man. It could not be of the human race, because that blood had been defiled. The Bible said all flesh is corrupted its way before God. And through the fall of Adam came, that is, to corruption. And if you die, your blood will stay there and you will corrupt, or the blood cells will deteriorate. But see, when Christ came, a new blood cell was started, even as that blood cell that brought Adam about. And this new blood cell was altogether different. So the divine conception as to the inspiration of Mary was a godly, holy inspiration, which bypassed the human senses of stimulation as to reproduction through gendering. So then that means that when this came about, she was so inspired as the great Holy Spirit came upon her and illuminated her, even as it was when it illuminated Adam and Eve, and they failed to conceive of that. So then they felt the inspiration, just like stimulation of relation, but there was no concept. See, a lot of times we speak and the Holy Spirit comes and it's not us speaking, but it's God speaking to you, and the stimulation strikes some of you and you conceive of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it's like one that would be sterile. As ministers come and there's nothing. You don't conceive of the Holy Ghost because they don't have the Holy Ghost and they themselves have no life within them. But you do come into the presence of God as to this light that shines from heaven, as from this blood, as to the illumination, grace to the atonement, and you do come into the presence of God, and the rain is on the just and the unjust, and you do have the wooing of the love of God, as to the Spirit to you as an innocency of body, because you don't really know. But when you really come to know, and then it's time for a conception. Once you really come to know, as Jesus said, I never knew you. You really come to know and you know good and evil. Then you conceive of that which is corruption, and you go that way with the old tree of knowledge and the love of the world within you, and soon you conform more and more as to a desire of the natural, tangible sources of matter. Or that is, you relate to the five human senses as to the stimulation and the conception unto the bondage of this world, as to become a bond child in your birth. And when that comes forth, then you're on your belly as the serpent. All of your belly, your mouth, all of it, it craves the things of the world. You want to eat. You've got to taste. Now you want to feel your tummy. And the Bible said the appetite is never satisfied. So all of your labor's for your belly, because you're on your belly. See, you back to the dust. You're in the fall of Adam. You're back as a member of his body. And you are on your belly. And you crave the tree of knowledge. And you want to know more about the world and science and all these things, so that you can be more in the world, as to have a place among the elite of the world. Find yourself as to with the upper echelon and with the monetary values of life. So you're in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. Paul, being caught up as the Christ, he saw in the third heaven these great, wonderful things that was not even permissible for him to speak. And he said, do you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? Once God has delivered you from those five human senses, telling you to put the body down, to equip yourselves with the mind to suffer, to kill that out, to go on to the full measure of the full reward of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. For every one that be perfect shall be as his master, and he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with him. Well, anyway, Paul said, forgetting all these things that are behind, all of these things that I've had, all of these outstanding titles and whatever it might be, even to belonging to the Sanhedrins, whatever, the Pharisees, he said, I press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which of course is to be perfect and to be one with the master, to overcome and sit down in the throne. No man shall be above his master, but he that be perfect shall be as his master. You have this opportunity. This is why I don't understand a lot of time why we as a people neglect this great, wonderful opportunity that is passing us by. While others in the world, symbolic, they go after the titles of the world, they go after the diplomacies of the world, and they get these things to the highest degree because they want to be senators and presidents and elite and millionaires and whatever. And they know that if they understand, they're going to control. So I said all of this just to get to say a little more here, if you'll just bear with me. See, we know then that the dispute is over the body. We know there's a conception as to the twins, or there is a conception as to one or the other. And after the sow, the dog has been washed back to the wallowing in the mire. And one day the grace will be gone and the wooing will be gone, and they won't have a chance to come into this transformating glory of this rain that's upon the terror. See, all are feeding of the same life, because God is the only source of life. And it takes God to keep everybody alive in the natural, because everybody emanated from God. See, and the breath of life is there. But now, we've got to remember that once the work is done and the gospel is preached, Then the church is changed, the body that is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then Christ is born. And there we look, and it's made manifest in these mortal genes. And like Jesus stood up there on the mountain, here we are as the sun shining within our strength, and it's making our face and body to shine as the illumination. He was caught up into glory right there while they stood and looked at him. And he was standing in glory between Moses and Elijah. See, and we don't realize it, but we're already in heaven. As to our bodies in heaven, it's right there at the right hand of God. That we're going to be, and that's the illuminated one that was on the mountain. And our spirit is already translated into the spirit of Christ, hid in Christ, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And our body is dead by Calvary, and it's buried, and the great rent veil has taken place. And now the opening, there it is. The heavens have opened as a scroll with Jesus, and there appeared within that heaven the ark of the testament as to the severing and dividing asunder of the seven from the 490, leaving the 483 as to the church ages, seven as to the end of the world, and 483 over here. See, and then the church age messengers, as these candlesticks that you see here coming down in the church ages, as the variety of colors, as the spectrum, having come from the smitten stone over here of grace, as to the refraction of light and the bridge that's over the ark of the body of believers, Jesus being the head of that body, and as the waters of Noah, and everybody being gathered in through this great, wonderful revival as we preach the gospel, and yet it's Christ speaking, and here you're gathering, you're being gathered in, of all kind of animals gathered into that ark and into this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these wonderful species of preservation, as to whatever it might be, all of them emanated from God. And now these that God has chosen, they are coming in. They're coming in. And then all of these will be changed. All of these will be glorified. Everything that he chooses. It'll go through the rest as to the millennium and to the restoring of all things that's been lost. And then there will be the change as to the great celestial world. So then we know that something is happening. What is this thing that's happening? It is a door that is open in heaven. Where is the door? Peter opened the door. And I give unto you the keys. Because Peter looked beyond the veil, and Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And he looked and saw the Christ. And sure enough, when the veil is rent in twain at Calvary, there the Christ is. And he appears in the form of Paul, because he has to have a body. Yet he killed out that body, just like Jesus killed out the body over here for the Christ to do his work. Now, among the Gentiles, he kills out the body, even as among the Jews. See, to go get the bride. So when the contest comes, Peter, that was with Jesus over here, on the Jewish side, the gospel be committed to Peter, to the Jews. Which gospel that they denied, and Peter saying, "Let there be a Trinity," and God saying, "One body, one tabernacle, the end of the blood of bulls and goats, Moses and Elijah." It's the end of the blood, the end of the law and the prophets. There is a new covenant, there is a new blood. This one tabernacle, the law and the prophets came all from this God that's in this one tabernacle. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell," as to the original rendering. So then we know that there is the tabernacle, even as Peter said, it's to the inner man. And we know that the Christ now has come into us, because when the veil was rent in twain, it was for the purpose of doing away with your beastly parts, bearing that, doing away with it, that you might be dead to the law, that the law having no more dominion over you. See, because as long as you live, it's like as is said of a woman. She is bound to the laws of her husband so long as she lives. So then, as to the first man Adam, or as to the spirit that got in the first man Adam and took advantage, but we are divorced from that. And this body is now taken away from that, as to that body being dead and that old beast body gone. Now we have another body, even the second man Adam's body, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our spirit being freed from that first one, then we belong to another. Or as to the body being free from the world and Satan who has control. Now we are a new body, a purged body, a cleansed body, a purified body. And now we belong to God as to bring forth to God and then going to the purifying as the change. So we're travail as to the church here. But then we go through the purging through what Christ did for us down through the fire and bringing us up in a new image as to the body of the Lord Jesus, making us a quickening spirit. So we know for sure that we are dead as to our body to the law. And if a man be dead, he be buried, then that means the law hath no more power over him. So if we're dead to the law of thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery and all these kind of things, if our body is dead to that, then there's no way the body can transgress that. So then Jesus became our bodily performance to God. Paul said, having a will inwardly, I can't find a performance. Jesus performed it all. So knowing that that is our body and our performance, when we get ready for salvation, when we get ready for righteousness, we look away to our body, which is Jesus Christ, the blood, the Lamb. That's our new blood, new life, eternal life. And we look away to this, that blood that was between Moses and Elijah, to the covering cherub, which blood was on the seat of atonement, that the high priest, Jesus Christ, the body that was made like unto the high priest Melchizedek, that means that this body became the equality of the Christ. It became the equality of the Shekinah. And this one God, great spirit, eternal life, which means knowledge, understanding, that it was manifested in a human body to the fullness. For the Bible said God gave not the spirit by measure unto Christ Jesus, to the members by measure. So then here, this Christ come into that body, and it made itself manifest until that body was completely the manifestation of Melchizedek, the high priest. And so the body, as to Jesus, it was said to that body, thou art a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Well, that is, the body is now equal with the spirit. Or as Paul said, you know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then Jesus Christ thought it not robbery as to his body to be equal with the Christ. So they became one. And now we have the same opportunity with the Christ on the inside of us, which means on the other side of Calvary or to the rent veil. And here we have that body is to become as the Melchizedek of God. We're standing in Christ's stead while the body of Jesus is gone, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. For we are the priest of God. If there has been a change of the law, and there has, folded up and laid away, then there is of necessity a change of priesthood. If the law was changed to grace by the fulfillment of the Word of God in human form, then that means that the priesthood changed to the ministry. And today the ministry is preaching the Word of God, remitting your sins, retaining your sins, or perfecting your faith in God. And it's not them speaking, but Christ speaking from within them. So then we know that the veil was rent in twain in our behalf, that the body might be dead as in this world, but we have another one eternal in the heavens as to the image of the heavenly, when we put away the image of the first man Adam as to the earthy. And there's a natural body, a spiritual body, a terrestrial body, a celestial body, a corruptible body, an incorruptible body. And here we are as to mortality, putting on immortality, because we are being changed in mind as this child, as to this conception, which is our hope of glory, and that he alone was made heir to the glory, as to the woman having an inheritance, if she has a child. If she's barren, she doesn't. So then we have conceived through this divine conception and through this divine thing of the Lord, and we are in travail to pull away from the world, to be different from the world, and that we might go on with the Christ, to surrender this body to that life, that it might be as any son, that as we grow up, it's not living, but now you see our Father. And the great Holy Spirit, the great loving Holy Ghost, the image, the personification of God is now within you and I. I made the statement, God being a spirit, nobody could tell what he was like. Nobody. But when he made himself a body, when he
gathered himself together like the metallics as to that of the earth, gathered together and put into a mold to become an automobile image or whatever image you want to make it, as to the minerals of the earth being melted down through the fire, taking the dross out of the gold and silver, or that is to take away this old fleshly part of us as to that of the beast that Satan has got to, corrupted and made it as to the dross to be interwoven with this gold of that great image of God as to that Shekinah there in the garden, to melt it down with that great light, the consuming fire, to take that out of us and then to purify us and bring us as to a mold, an image of his desire, in that it was us when he took the prophet down to the potter's house, said, and I'll take you down there. And he wrought this work on the wheel that we've seen while we were in Israel. And he made one image and he tried to make it to perfection that it might be unto honor, but it was not pliable. It was not soft. It did not have enough water, as we say, or moist. I saw this with my own eyes and it was taken away. And then he picked up another that was very soft and he was perfect with it. I watched him as he rolled it and he put it on a spindle and this thing began to spin and he just sat there in the most unique way and he just touched it like that with his finger and he touched it like that and go like that and just shape it in such beautiful, smooth way. And then he was real pleased with it and he set it over here. And the Lord, knowing that was a symbol, he took the prophet down to speak to him. God, being a spirit, spoke to him through the symbol of that, like he speaks to us, as to God revelating himself through those things as to images and forms which emanated from him for the purpose to let life make itself manifest, or God to make himself fully manifest in all of his power and characteristics as to his attribute to his children, that we might comprehend this as a mind. And getting this mind, it's like beholding ourselves in the glass with open face. And this changes us. It transformed our mind to the mind of Christ, which transfigures our body, which has by faith translated our spirits. And through that, God projecting this mind of light, which is understanding life, it changes that image to his desire. And then the physical, and then all of the everything around us, the curse is gone, the briars is gone, the spirit of the curse is gone that caused that, is even the darkness as to the intellectual death. And then light radiates. And then comes the millennium. Of course, the Jews shows this in the as they come in the adoption, where science say that after 7 years that there's going to be an upright of the world. If it does, then that means that there has been an upright of the body, which will be the Jews. And that means that the translation of the church has gone as to the change, which is Christ that has appeared as the head. Well, anyway, we saw this in Peter and Paul. When Christ come in Paul, then he blamed Peter to his face. And Peter went out, as to the Trinity, he went out. The Catholic Church, the crown, and it continued on down in Babylon, even as when it fell down there 500 years before, because the Jews rejected the Lord. They couldn't restore it. As to the building of the walls, they did that in the day of Nehemiah, but when the Messiah came, they rejected him. And so Israel took another king, and they've been in derision over there in that city ever since. And just now coming around as to the time when the crown was taken away from the papacy. You remember the priests coming here and the ordination, them kind of things, and that the crown was gone. And then they said, we'll receive our elderly brother, the Jew. He really wasn't to blame for the death of Jesus and the blood being upon him, taking that away in our day. And yet the Catholic Church falling, the Protestant people falling, America falling, to show that the church ages is over and it's shifting back as to that which is the Jews and going by the way of Germany and the mark. How a lot we could say there, but we're not going to try to enlarge on these things as to some present day truths that was even talking to Brother Taylor about today. But I am saying this, that there was the dispute and Paul, the child, caught up into heaven. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He went out. And with that, we come to the new world. We come to what Martin Luther did and these kind of things. And we could go on and go on and go on. Many of these things we said, maybe in part, little things here and there. I want to tell you that you might receive this revelational mind to change you and transfigure you into this wonderful thing of God. So being developed on the inside is gradually transforming your mind. into the wonderfulness of Almighty God. Whereas people in this world, they get into the presence of this and their mind become transformated as to mess with the Word. And still the gospel is preached, whether for contention or whatever. And people as to elect, they find God, and the grace of God is poured out as to the rain on the tares. So they get healing and all these things, like it was as in the days of David. He put away his concubines, and Solomon put away the concubines with gifts. So there's all kind of gifts. There's people become billionaires. They become elite. They become singers. They become all kind of things. These are gifts. God just puts them away with gifts. And during their lifetime, they get all the benefits of the money and the prestige. And some look better than others and all the flatter and the praise and whatever. But folks, I want Jesus on the inside. I want his lovely presence. I want to do what he tells me to do. Paul said, to keep under my body, to bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. And I want to have my fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life, to do always the things that please my precious heavenly Father. The treasure is so mighty, for to those wives, it was different. He did not give gifts unto the membership of his body as to his wife. See, it was a different thing altogether. So coming down to this place here, there are many things we need to say and would like to say, but trying to find a place to close here is to this open door in heaven. When the veil was rent in twain and the separation of the body and the spirit, it indicated the Jews as to the body. And the law died, went away, that is, it was folded up, fulfilled. And that is, we died to the law by the body of Jesus. And it was shown as the Jews died to God, went out of his presence, went around through all the problems of the Holocaust, tried as the fire, burned at the stakes. It was the body of Jesus as to the head going down into the heart of the earth, into the grave, into the fire, coming up in the new form as the Jews will do in the coming period. As when the seven comes back to the 483s, to where the angel is standing with one foot on the land and seeing whatever, and we get into the thunders and all these other things if we went any farther than that. But I'm simply saying that when the veil was rent in twain, it was the door that Peter opened, because he looked beyond the flesh and he saw Christ. And when he saw Christ, it was the same as at the end of the church ages, when John looked and saw this door open in heaven, which was the door that Peter opened both to the Jews and the Gentiles. And at the end of the church ages, then there's the door to the Jews. So he opened it to both. And with this, the child was caught up. Now, Christ being the head of the spiritual Jew, and Peter having to do with the natural Jew as to the Jesus. So we see the Christ and the Jesus portrayed here. And seeing that this happened is to the open door. What was the door? It was Jesus. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And this great, wonderful Christ was beyond the door. And when this body and the spirit divided asunder, it was the heavens that was opening as to the scroll that it speaks of in the seals. And from there came this wonderful grace and mercy of God as to the door open in heaven, as these church age messengers, as to these colorful things, as to the covenant, are the rainbow, the covenant within the heart of the tutoring day after day and year after year, dimension after dimension, are one messenger after another, which was Jacob's ladder into heaven as the angels descending to and fro upon Christ, or as it was at Bethel, like the little place that we call Bethel out here, which has great significance, even as these church age type messengers, as these right here. At the end of the age, there stood, as it was Paul at the beginning, I brought out the other night, there stood Paul as to the Christ in the end, in the midst of the churches, which was the candlesticks that was up here in heaven, as to these messengers that had been projected as a full thing of a sevenfold light for the translation. And the door was seen open in heaven as to the seven from the 483. And then it was said, come up hither. Well, it would take a lot of explaining and going on to say this, to where we can look beyond
if we go through this door. Because the voice is to John having to do with the revelation of the Lord. The time is at hand. And it was Paul, as in the midst of the candlesticks, and yet not Paul, but Christ, because he was the one that received the revelation as the child caught up, and here he is. And John turns and receives the revelation. So we'll stop right along here. I think I got over enough to where we can kind of at least put that together. The Lord can put it together for us. And we can look beyond. It's like these things that George Jr. is selling. They're dimensional things. Some of you saw them. These little boards that have nothing on them as far as looking at them. And no images, no nothing. But when you come up and look at them, all of a sudden, you're looking like my wife was the other day at one of them. And then she just said, it was so awesome. And she said, I see this and I see this and I see this. And said, it's moving toward me. And then all of a sudden it moves around you and you find yourself caught in it. And it is said, going in. Like in Alaska, you stay there. If you stay there, it's cut off from the States. And if you go out, they call that going out into the lower 48. Well, in this, you go in. It becomes a door. And you enter into it, and you go into this. See, and it's very typical. It's him having my name, and he's doing on that end as to the natural. And on this end, we have the privileges to the spiritual. Because he relates back to Brother Branham's followers as the JT, the daughter he married, and whatever. And as to the one and only evangelist, as Brother JT says, him, that was ordained by Brother Branham. This all has to do with Palm Sunday, this week being the Passover, the end of this week being Easter to the resurrection. That is the open door, the rending of the veil. It's all in here at this time. That's why we're talking about this open door. That's why Don Porter said what he did, and many things we could say here that we don't have time to say tonight. You've been a good audience to listen real well. We'll let you go. I usually let you go real early anyway. And I don't think it's that late even now. Might be a little later. But I'm just trying to bring something to your mind that you might think on because the time being so close at hand. See, looking into these things, this thing came from the launching pad where they would send up the signals to the planets, or the launching pad as the astronaut being caught up. See, it's to the study of astronomy. And it was a signal that would be sent back that was camouflaged in such a way that nobody could understand it. It is said that the man that worked so many years with him came to where he understood it. And they had to get rid of him, so they retired him. So that nobody would know, and they changed the code. And this man, remembering this code, he went and had it patented. And his mind was in a three-dimensional projection so much that he sat down and done all of this work in a three-dimensional thing. And then it would come out as covered with, there was nothing there. And yet it's there. And it really excites people. As a matter of fact, Rick's wife was saying that they'd go 12 and 14 hours with the sale of this, like in Florida and wherever. It's a new thing, right here at the time of the revelation and getting in through the door. And maybe Rick made about $6,000, and his partner, took a partner in with him, made about $6,000. And now Malta Market wants to buy it maybe for millions of dollars. Anyway, this thing, as I'm saying, is really outstanding at this moment being the Passover. And if we went on and went on, it would get deeper, greater, and more. But I say again, what was the door? Where was it open? It was open in heaven. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, if Jesus was the door and Peter opened it there by revelation of seeing this, and that Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven has revealed this unto thee. If it was a spiritual revelation and not intellectual learning as to flesh and blood, Jesus not begotten of the will of flesh, but of God as to a revelational thing, God in the flesh. And if it was Jesus at Calvary, then one would say, but if it was Jesus at Calvary, even way back there, that was on the earth. But you have to remember that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, the Son of Man who was in heaven, who is in heaven. So Jesus was in heaven. So when the door was open, it was open in heaven. And so, beloved friend, there is a door that is open in heaven. Maybe you did not understand at the beginning when we said that, though we preached to you before. And maybe after that, you understand better now that this door is of the greatest of importance, so much more that I could preach on it from now until the Lord Jesus come in his natural appearing, which will be as to the Jews, and that he's already here. He's already here, and he's already sealed the church in. Let's stand together. The body is moving on now to the last part as to the manifestation of this wonderful seal, this great Christ, the seal of God. Standeth sure that God knoweth those that are his. My, I hope you don't miss this. I hope you're understanding, and I hope you're moving along with us as your pastor, as one that loves you, that tries to spend my time with God and before God, talking to God, listening to God. I hope you understand. I started not to even minister tonight. When I began to talk to the Lord, I stood outside the door quite a long while. You didn't know that. But I said, Lord, you'll have to tell me what you want to do. And he spoke to me. So tonight, just simple and plain, as Jesus would if he was here, I talked to you about these things. The Bible said you have seen great things, mighty things, that great and mighty men like Abraham, Elijah, and these others did not see. You've entered into their labors, and you're seeing and hearing things that they long to hear, and they look forward to that day, because this is the great day. This is the great day, and the door is open in heaven, and it's been open, but people have not been going through it. And even though Paul was that as to the revelation to the bride, see, here we are right at the end of the church ages, and the light, though the door was open, it was first messenger, and then compound, and then compound, and then down at the end time, it was supposed to be a sevenfold compound as to the light moving closer and closer, like scientists say the sun will do, getting brighter and brighter as to the consummation, to where there's no flesh left whatsoever. It's just Christ living. And with that, there's great light in the consummation. And the way you go is when it was baptized, and there at the baptism, the light came down and the image vanished away. And when Bucky, who was a judge, spoke of it and was so astounded, and then he brought Brother Branham into it and said as to Brother Branham. And even as somebody was telling me just a day or two ago, that I spoke with Brother Branham following, I said, he'll come to this as to some of them that will see this when we get up there on Palm Sunday. And I said, we'll have hear something from this, because it has to do with that as to the resurrection, and that has to do with Brother Branham. Well, some were invited to come over to the meeting. They refused. But when they were given some of our books, they read the books that were Brother Branham following. And the report that I got said they immediately said, we want to go to this meeting. And said, this is the nearest thing that we found to Brother Branham's teaching. Said, this sounds like Brother Branham as to the teaching. So then, there was something that took place, and something is continuing on from Palm Sunday right on through, and the time is at hand. So we need to think this over, need to think it over, and try to understand what the Lord is telling us, because we get so natural, we get so carnal, we get so pressed out of measure, we get so caught away in the world that we come to church, and here we are Friday night, or whatever night this is, Friday night. We come over here, and it's Friday night, and you know, we're going to hear Brother Pike preach again. We thank God for our pastor, our place here. And he'll exalt us a little, and we'll go get our ice cream and sandwiches. We'll go to supper, whatever, we'll get out early enough before everything closes. And then, of course, this is a night, a lot of people that when they get money, they can't come. They can't handle money and God together at the same time. So they don't come. But anyway, this also has to do with the children as to their night and the crossing of the Jordan. So then we know that of a certainty, something is happening. We come here, we just kind of like Jesus did. You know, we get in a little boat. We just sometimes don't even raise our voice. I could holler at you and scream at you, move around, all these kind of things. But see, I don't even much as holler at you sometimes. And the Lord speaks to you. But then you begin to come to life. But still you think, why was I so dead? Why? You go right back out, get into the night of the intellectual mind, back out into the flesh. Everything's gone. Darkness, night. Well, anyway, we're just trying to say these few little things to you to kind of stir you up. The Bible said, stir up your pure mind. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind in Christ Jesus. One day we'll have to put the tabernacle on. Let's sing together, can we? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. God to Joshua saith, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when the other side you shall be free. Sing it with me. Cross over to the other. You know, get over the carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. As to your first birth, as to your human reasoning, as to the tree of knowledge and the dispute of mind, as to the word of God, as to the angel of Christ and Lucifer and the tree of knowledge, they're after the body. As to whether the body will go after the human senses or whether it will go after the inspiration of God. Cross over to thee. Remember now, you're born in the natural of the will of men and the stimulation of human union. But the Bible said Jesus, that second man from glory, that Christ within you, the Bible said he was not begotten of the will of man. That's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you are to be. To become that image at the change as to this life, maturity being manifested as to wisdom, making you to be illuminated or your face to shine. So I crossed over to the other side of Jordan, just like the good Lord said. Crossed over to the other side of Jordan, that by the Spirit I might be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander of the intellectual mind. Wandering in the intellectual mind. The other side, thank God now, I'm led. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan. Can you sing it with me? When you reach the other side, we're going to sing it again. The altars are open. So I crossed to the other side of Jordan, just like the good Lord said. Now on the other side of Jordan, by the Spirit I am led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage free. Since I reached the other side, cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage free. And when you reach the other side, we're going to sing it one more time like that. I crossed to the other side of Jordan, just like the good Lord said. Now on the other side of Jordan, by the Spirit I am led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage to flee. And on the other side of Jordan, I can say that now. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord and Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness
Somebody say hallelujah. Let's get over the old carnal mind, get out of the wilderness wandering of intellectual college and school and human reasoning and ever learning and never having revelation. That flesh and blood cannot give this to you through the tutoring of the world. As to the tree of knowledge, get all your diplomas, do all the studying you want to, nothing to say about it. But you'll never get the revelation of the Son of God until you get out of that mind, because that's the human mind. But when you get into the mind of God, it'll just talk to you, and it'll just talk to you, and it'll guide you, it'll tell you what to do, it'll revelate its way. Like Paul said, I went up in a conference with Peter by revelation and abode with him X amount of days. Get away from your human reasoning, get away from your self-esteem, put the natural man down. Raise the Christ up. Give him all the glory and praise, because when you go through the tree of knowledge and through the side of diplomacies, then that is, as the Bible said, measuring themselves by themselves, seeking honor one of another. How can they have the honor that cometh from God? So let's seek the honor of God. Let's excel in the mind of Christ. Why? Because there is a door open in heaven. What is this door? God has rent the veil, and the body has been separated from the spirit. And now there's an entrance into glory. There is an entrance into glory. There are some here tonight. Some will hear my voice. They don't dwell in earth. Why? Because they entered in. Though they really don't know, and they really don't understand, but they've entered in as a little child. A voice said, come up hither. And they went up into glory. And today they're not in the earth. God has chosen them out of the earth. And they're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, as it was with John, even the church, caught up into glory. That's why John was able to hear the thunders. And that's why John got the thunders. I made the statement, I say it again tonight to you, that seven thunders uttered their voice while John was in heaven. And he saw time no more. He saw the end. Someone would say, well, you can't see that, Brother Pike. You don't know that. Nobody can see the end. But nevertheless, he saw it anyway. And it was said time no more. So he saw the end of time. And then he was about to write the thunders. And while he was about to write the thunders, a voice said, no. Said, seal it up, John, and see that you write it not. Now, I made the statement. When it said seal it up, it had already been revealed to John. John had already heard it. He'd gone beyond the flesh. Love is as strong as death. Love is to charity. Love is to the bond of perfectness. And there he went, and he heard the thunders, and he heard what they were uttered, or what was uttered. Now, someone said, well, I don't believe he understood. But the Bible says he was writing and about to write the thunders. He evidently did understand. But it said, seal it up. If he did not understand, why would the voice have said, seal it up, John? Now, I've said this and I repeat it again tonight. When it said, seal it up, it could not have meant seal it up in heaven. How could it have meant that? It had already been revealed. Heaven had already uttered it. And it could not have been sealed up in heaven. Then where was it sealed up? Within John's spirit. Whereas the Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. A spirit is a seal. And it was sealed within John's spirit. Don't write it. Someone would say, well, those thunders was not then in the Word, Brother Pike. They're not. They're not. As to a printed page, they're not. See, they're not in the Word. But are they in the Word? Not as to the printed page. But they're in the Word. How could they not be in the Word? For the Bible said, ye are an epistle known and read of all men. And so then ye are the Word. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the Word. And so then it was sealed up in John's spirit. Because John had to do with the church. And it was said, now you go back and you'll do this and this and thus, John. As to what was sealed up, as to Paul, the revelation, the bride, through charity, through love. Him doing his part is to the door open in heaven. We've been caught up into heaven, therefore we are they that dwell in heaven like John. So we'll know the thunders. And the spirit of revelation makes it known to us. So it is sealed up.
within John's spirit of the great loving Holy Spirit that was in John, the Spirit there, that it might administer to you and I to come into our spirit, to make this known to our spirit, that of what you are, even the revelation of Jesus Christ. This revelation that came to John was in symbols and types written in this book, but not the revealed. It was to be revealed in us. And as to Paul, the great Spirit, even Christ within you, the hope of that glory or that treasure or that reward. And so then you are the one that has this on the inside, that it might be revealed to you. What must be revealed to you? Even that of the thunders. And that as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's what makes the bride, is the word becoming life, and this life to be made manifest in the mortal gene, because the body is what must become the bride, and the spirit must be subdued as to the male, that when he speaketh, that is the minister, it is not him speaking, but God speaking from within him, because this is his body. So then I said that to say this, with this revelation, that's the transformating of the mind, the catching away, that all at once, a moment in the twinkle of an eye, is made manifest that that's what you are and always have been, is to be sealed, that the evil one touch you not on the inside, and then all of a sudden it's made manifest that everybody can see that you've always been the sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what your body shall be like, but when he appears, we know that he shall be, how we shall be like him, and everyone that hath this hope. What hope? This hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. At the coming he'll be changed. And what hope? The hope of glory, because he alone is the hope of that glory as to what Jesus appeared in on the mount when he was caught up into glory. So then it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's the great, wonderful, invisible work that the world cannot see. But God is with us, above us, in us, and through us. We're absorbing him like a sponge, and this great wonderful thing is taking place, and we're all down at the end of the trail now. Everything. How wonderful. I thought about it today when Brother Marsh brought, I saw him working with me in some things the other night, and I thought how wonderful it is when I looked today and I saw him come over with a fig tree that he had dug up, and he wanted to set that fig tree out even last night, but I felt that we should wait, and then it was to be set out, and I thought, now that's it. Marriageable, we was up there, Brother Branham, as to now the coming in, as to the Jews, the change of the government, all these kind of things, as to the tribulation period, and now when you see the fig tree put forth the buds, and here it is as to Marriageville, the birth of the child, Morris coming from up there, and it's just wonderful to think about it. Well, let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for God hath made it revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn. While the intellectuals sit in our midst, while they wonder and they figure and they study and they struggle and they strive, but they don't see it. Their eyes of understanding are not opened up. And though they gain great momentum in the world and they become praise by the elect of the natural elect of the world, not the election of grace, but them that are elected to office in the world. And though they in the world have the praise of men and seek the honor of men and seek the monetary values of life, yet they never see this great wonderful glory, because they don't have eyes. Having eyes to see, they do not have eyes to see God, who is the Spirit of glory. They do not see this glory. That's why James and John was chosen. Peter, being symbolic of the two prophets in earth, Jesus in the midst of the blood on the seat of atonement, the two saying, let us sit on the right hand and the left, which is the sons of thunder. And there they were, calling fire down as they wanted to do. The same thing that the Bible said the two prophets will do in the end time. They'll come and these two prophets will have power to call fire down from heaven. And there was Peter, symbolic of the Lord Jesus, right in the midst of them. And Peter, being crucified, just like the Lord Jesus says to history.
And there, as to the fall and Satan cast out, as it was Jesus being made sin, so it was with Peter, as to show the casting out in the satanic part that went into the earth to set up their kingdom among the Gentiles, in that the Jews had rejected the crown. And then they had it until over here when that priest came by, and this thing happened not too long ago, and all of a sudden the crown was gone. And it had to do with the priesthood here and the precious, wonderful, I don't have words of expression, as to the works of Christ Jesus. And God is able to do abundantly and above all that you're able to ask or think by His Spirit, which works mightily, mightily in you. All things are possible to them that believe. Can we sing another little chorus for you? I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every and every line, and with word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. The angel will stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be no more. So I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory. All ye people, oh, His blood that washed away every stain. Once again, so I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away every stain. Once again, So I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come again tonight to dismiss us. I spoke about him coming the other night. The crucifixion, his name, Richard King of All. His mother saying while he was laying there, Rick looks so much like Jesus. They don't even believe in the Messiah. Just coming to believe because of what Richard has done. But nevertheless, tonight, here is a natural Jew before you. The time is fulfilled. The time is at hand. Let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is unholy be holy, unholy still. So then, at the end of the book of Revelation is even at the beginning. Let him be holy still. If it's evil surmising and finding fault with the minister, as I feel something tonight, if they'd stop scrutinizing me just for a minute in their old ugly evil mind and be clean in their mind, to the pure all things are pure, to the defiled and unbelieving they're always looking for fault with the minister. But if they'd get off of my back, think holy for a few minutes, they might get their eyes open and see beyond the veil, because it's for sure all that I said tonight in your present state of mind, if it be the natural, you didn't see anything. You just reflected it and the light will go out and you won't understand nothing. But you that have received this, you're going to bring forth the child. God is bringing forth the man child, the Christ in you and me. And you're going to go into travail when you receive the seed of Christ. As to the seed of life of that new blood covenant, you're going to go into travail. Even the Jews will when they receive it. And that's through the tribulation period. And they'll bring forth the very life of God. And it'll be out of that old blood of the beast and the serpent as to the reproduction of human life in the flesh. And they'll be reproducing Christ as to reproduce as it was with Adam and Eve, to multiply, replenish the earth as to the spiritual, in that the Bible said, who shall declare his posterity? They've declared Adam's posterity, but who's going to declare Christ Jesus's posterity? You're the children of God. You're the children of God. You're his posterity in the earth. So then, beloved friend, tonight, let's lift our hands up and let's love the Lord as we sing this one more time. And our brother the Jew comes. We don't say our elderly brother like the Catholic people is to the Gentiles. Until he comes, Christ Jesus, the first brother among many brethren, being the bodily head to the many members as to the Jews. We as Christ to the head of the spiritual Israelite. The many bodies as to the spiritual inner man, as Peter said, sealed and perfected and waiting to be made manifest, just as the Jew, which has these ordinances for the earth and for the human body, just like we have the ordinances for heaven and the spiritual body. And when heaven and earth comes together, and it will be coming pretty soon, and New Jerusalem will come down from heaven as a bride adorned for a husband and sit down upon the new earth. And the Spirit will then make itself manifest as from inward coming down, those jewels from within coming down into these bodies, that life may be made manifest in your mortal genes. For ye are my jewels, and I will remember you and spare you as a man doth his son when I come to make up my jewels. Lift your hands up and let's love the Lord. Don't miss it. A little sign I saw the other day said, Jesus, don't miss it for the world. So let's sing this little chorus together once again. So I remember this week is the Passover. Prepare your victuals, Joshua said. We're going over Jordan. I hope you've got this bread of life at the supper. Jesus said, eat my body, drink my blood. You don't have any life in you if you don't. The 70 left him because of that, and they were lost. Though they seen the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, put away with gifts. But the others said, where can we go? Ye alone have eternal life. Their names are found as to the 12 apostles. Their names is found in the foundation of the new city, and they're found in the millennium sitting on thrones to rule beside Jesus Christ, the Lord. So then tonight, let him into your heart once more. So we will